Shalom, shalom. And greetings around the world and all times of day, evening, morning, and afternoon to you. And this is Stefan Yah with Separation and the Sabbath Day. Keep the seventh day and do not return to Jeroboam's sun worship. Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 20. And we're going to be skipping through here a little bit. Ezekiel 20, and Yahweh is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. And he's saying here in chapter 20, and verse 7, "Then I said unto them, Cast you away, every man, the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim." So there's the first clue of one of the two greatest sins is idolatry. Actually, we could summarize everything up to say, if we worship ourselves, if we're selfish, then we are committing idolatry, and then all the other sins would modify that. Now, verse 10, "Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgments." Statutes are the extensions of Yahweh's Ten Commandment law, and so are the judgments as well. Another word for that would be ordinances or privileges. "So I showed them my statutes and my judgments. If a man do, he shall even live in them." Live in them or walk in them. "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths." Now that's plural, so it includes the seventh-day Sabbath as well as his feast days. "I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sets them apart." And, of course, Yahweh's name is very imperative. So we have to remember his true name, not the substitutes and the false pagan names. "The house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgments." Judgments are found in Exodus 21. And it does specifically include the feast days, at least three feast days. "If a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them." Verse 16, so that means I'm skipping 14, 15, if you... how about 14? "I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. I also lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land that I gave them flowing with milk and honey," which is the beauty of all lands, the splendor. "Because they despised my judgments, and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness," those children represent us, the greater scattered diaspora around the world, "Walk not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols." Now, tonight, as I record this after the Sabbath, that there are many going around in America with masks on and disguises of various sorts, maybe even dressed up kind of unusually attractive, but still they're observing the Hallows' Eve, Halloween tonight. And Paul said in Galatians 4, that "you observe days, months, times, and years, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you my labor in vain." So, I said, "Walk not in the statutes of your fathers, and don't defile yourself with idols or idolatry. I am Yahweh your Elohim. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them." And it says in the King James, "hallow." We don't use that word here because we've done some research. But it could be set apart or make pure, a very special, revere my Sabbaths, I think would be legitimate. And we've looked up in the concordance and the lexicon. "So revere my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. We're moving toward verse 20 here. And hallow my Sabbaths now, and they shall be a sign between me and you, and you'll know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. So very imperative, very, very high priority, keeping Yahweh's Sabbath day. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They didn't walk in my statutes, and neither kept my judgments. So this is a repetition here. Or if we skip to verse 24, because they had not executed my judgments, they had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths. Their eyes were after their father's idol. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good. So the added law, the temple sacrifices. And I gave them judgments whereby they should not live. So there are the sacrificial animal statutes that were not good. That was our schoolmaster to bring us to Messiah. See Galatians 3:19 in the Newer Testament. And so there we have today that many, even in Jerusalem, are not walking according to Yahweh's word, not wearing the proper Hebrew attire, especially for the men. They don't, for example, a very important commandment was to have the beard for a man, wear the B-E-A-R-D, a beard. And even their leaders, perhaps even their religious leaders, do not wear that part of the attire, the commanded natural attire. And we think that that's a mistake there. And they're not keeping the Sabbath properly, quite possibly. I don't know that, whether or not they are. But you can tell by the pictures of these leaders in the Wall Street Journal or wherever you want to look. They are just not being Torah observant. They're not even taking the Sabbath day off. Sometimes they have government matters or other things. Some could use the alibi, well, I have to feed my family. Yes, if it's an emergency, I think that Yahweh has a provision for that. It's called the provision of the oxen in the ditch sort of thing that came out of a New Testament reference there to the oxen in the ditch theory. So, but they do make a big deal about the sun worship day, the venerable day of the sun. Messiah did not rise on the first day of the week. They saw Messiah after he had risen at the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn or approach the first day of the week at sunset of the end of the Sabbath day. And that only happens occasionally. In some years, it's on the resurrection day of Messiah falls on a different day. Messiah died on the 14th. He died on the cross at Calvary for our sins, remission of our sins, according to the book of Isaiah, Yeshayahu. And he rose from the grave three nights and 3 days later on the 17th. Now, let's. So I'm concerned, we are concerned about those in the ministry, especially ministering to Jews, who are teaching a watered-down Bible and not the gospel of repentance, and only knowing the so-called person of Messiah while not knowing and heeding his word. See John chapter 1, not knowing his word because he is the word. So that doing this is of vain or of no little gain. So we need to hear the word and heed the word. We need to be convicted by his word. And we need to submit to him and offer ourselves up to him as a living offering, a living sacrifice. So, meanwhile, we step over here into the New Testament department for a moment to Hebrews chapter 4 in the book. It's not a compartment, as we shall also demonstrate. Hebrews 4:4, speaking of the Sabbath, in the book of Hebrews, and this is also reiterated or repeated elsewhere, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and Yahweh rested the seventh day from all his works. as demonstrated by Genesis 1. And again, he specifies a certain day. That's Hebrews 4:7 now. He limits, limit would be a poor rendition. He specifies a certain day. A certain day? Oh, is that true? Yes. For if Messiah or Yahshua ben Nun had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of a different day? There therefore remains a rest, a keeping of the Shabbat, it should say there in the, this originally came from Hebrews, from the Hebrew. There therefore remains a keeping of the Shabbat to the people of Yahweh, to the people of Israel all over the world, Chicago, New York, Jerusalem, Singapore, wherever you might be. India, yes, thank you. We have brothers there, and also like to mention about the Grace Orphanage in South India. And you can look them up on the internet. Now, to Ezekiel. No. Exodus. We did not read out of Exodus yet. Just referred to it, but Exodus 31:16 regarding the Sabbath. And the Sabbath day is just mentioned all over, hundreds of times in the Scriptures, New and Old Testament, and also demonstrated over several dozen times in the New Testament. The book of Acts, for example, has about a dozen references to the Sabbath and the feast days. Okay, so we read Hebrews 4. Now as we move along now, and hope you're enjoying this. We certainly do. Plugging in a different headphone there. Okay, Hebrews 4:4, he speaks in a certain place of the seventh day, then as Exodus 31:16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Oh, how about that word, perpetual? And it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So we don't want to, teaching, in having conversation with Jewish people particularly, or any Israelite around the world, in America here, then, like your next door neighbor, we don't want to present a watered-down gospel, a perverted version. Jeroboam's idea was to move the day ahead by one 24-hour period, which coincides with most of churchianity today, and to also change the feasts of Yahweh. Jeroboam said, let us do that tomorrow, and it'll be so much better, to paraphrase. Then we read Exodus 31, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And then Ezekiel, we're going up to Ezekiel now, which is after the book of Psalms in the modern scriptures. Ezekiel 44, starting at 23. Ezekiel 44 now, and I read from the King James with the necessary corrections back to the Hebrew text, the underlying text. And they shall teach my people the difference between the pure and profane. So the priests, that is the today's teachers, should teach the difference between the pure and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And not just the law of clean and unclean either, but in every matter, sexual, in business matters, there is a clean and there's an unclean. In taking care of your land, there's a defiling of your property, and there is a purifying, a defiling and purifying of your land. If we observe Yahweh's laws and his law of how to harvest and to allow others to glean, then we will be... Okay, I was right in the middle of that reading, actually. That was verse 23. My friends, sisters, and brothers, The next verse would say, and in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my Torah and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall set apart my Sabbaths. The original English word was hallow, which we changed, of course, to distinguish that from the pagan word of H-O-L-I. Then back to chapter 22 now, here in Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 8. Yahweh is speaking, thou hast despised my pure things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. That's chapter 22. And he also said that there is a conspiracy, I think is the next verse here. Yes. That's verse 25. So we went from verse 8, that was despise my pure things and profane my Sabbath. Verse 25 now, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my Torah and have profaned, and that goes for today. The pastors have violated the Torah, and not all of them, and have profaned my pure things. They have put no difference between the pure and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. So pure and profane, unclean and clean. And they hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. And then here's, we skipped verse 17 and 18, so now I'm going to read that for you. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me dross, D-R-O-S-S. It means a mixture, like today's ecumenical mixture of all the Roman Catholic and Babylonian and churches around the world following the traditions of the Middle Ages. And so he said again, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass. So this is as opposed to silver and gold. They are brass, tin, and iron, and lead. So these are inferior, especially the tin, inferior metals. Iron and lead. Well, iron is not really that inferior, is it? But anyway, we're talking about the difference between lead, iron, tin, and silver and gold, which is much more valuable. In the midst of the furnace, they are even the dross of silver. And then he says later, and I will melt you. And I like that. Okay, we're leaving Ezekiel now for the last chapter in the so-called Christian Bibles, or the modern scriptures, Malachi. And you should read the last chapter there. It's the final word. Malachi 3:18, however, is also, and according to this study here, quite useful. 3:18, then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves the sovereign Yah and him that serves him not. So there's not a judgment of sending someone to an eternal destination of heaven or hell, but there is an evaluation in the assemblies to make sure that we're not so polluted and compromising and just allowing anybody to come in and bring their baggage from other cultures and pagan religions and rock and roll, rock and roll early. I don't speak against all that, but rock of today is very damaging to the spirit for the most part. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:17, having alienated 90% of Christianity and about 100% of the world, but Paul says that Shaul, the apostle, who was converted by Yahusha, as we have seen in the book of Acts, this is in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians 6:17, Paul adjures us, Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So this is parallel to what we have read in the older scriptures, commonly called the Old Testament. So I would summarize that. Come out from among you and be separate. Separate from what? From the religious system of the world. Try not to become part of that ecumenical movement, as the Mennonites, the Assembly of God, the Methodists, and Catholics and Episcopal have joined that ecumenical conglomeration. And although we can't condemn the churchgoers in the pews there, we don't know where their hearts are, but some of the leaders, though, must be reproved and pointed out. But not at this time. But most churches, in some way or another, follow the traditional Middle Age teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, of conflicting doctrines of various papal leaders. So that was in chapter 6 of Corinthians. Come out from among you. Then in chapter 11, we went from chapter 6 to 11. Now, 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous, so Messiah is speaking. He is our husband, we are the bride. He is the bridegroom. I don't know, I just like the word groom, not bridegroom. It's kind of confusing, a contradiction in terms. I am jealous over you with exceeding jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I present you as a chaste virgin to the Messiah, Yahushua Messiah. Others use a variation, such as Yahshua or Joshua, as the Messiah's name. Romans chapter 16. Now back to Romans, one book. In the last chapter 16 of Romans, 17 and 18 of the 16th chapter. And Shaul is writing to the Romans and to at large to all of us Israelites scattered wherever we are. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned from the churches. No, learned from the disciples in the first century, the years 0 through 101. So contrary. And avoid them. For they that are such serve not Yahweh, Yahushua Messiah, but their own belly. And by good works and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple. Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't good works, but good words and fair speeches. Now, I hear that on Christian radio all the time. So, and I've worked in Christian radio for many years and saw some good things, but I saw a lot of problems there and contradictions, a lot of problems from the Christian universities that we need to separate sometimes from most of that stuff. Paul also said in chapter 2 now, which is not my opinion, but Yahweh's opinion, the doers of the law shall be justified. So we need to do the Torah. And these works mentioned in the scriptures and in the book of the Revelation are not just nice little favors that we do for one another. It's actual doing Yahweh's Torah of his instructions, which includes doing nice little favors. But that's not the main priority, or for lack of a better thought. The doers of the law shall be justified. The doers of Torah shall be justified. At least if they're doing it correctly, according to him, with the right motive. Romans 2:13, that was. Now we move on next to 2 Thessalonians. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So it's all right to note, make note of different dignified, respectable, so-called respectable leaders who are teaching false doctrine. And we don't always have to mention their names and try to condemn them, or worse yet, to demonize them. They have some pretty good points sometimes, but no, I don't want to endorse them either, because that's just a big hodgepodge mixture that we have out here that we need to be aware of and to be armed and prepared against. The wicked devices of the devil actually are where these things are originating from, not from human beings necessarily. although some of them, it would seem that they are deliberately, two different Assembly of God pastors once told me, I do not keep the Sabbath. And then their wives corrected them. I don't. It was just sort of an off-the-cuff statement that they made. But I don't think that they really intended to say that they would willingly destroy Yahweh's Sabbath day. Maybe they did. I don't know their heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6 now is the next, about the next chapter there, isn't it? The next book. Chapter 6, verse 5. And he speaks of a list here of those who were quite sinful nature. 1 Timothy 6, 5, in the middle of that, destitute of the truth. That's what I wanted to point out there. Some it seems like, you know, all they talk about is like love, 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 like the song by the Beatles. All you need is an undefined love without any definitions. Yahweh has 1,050 definitions in the New Testament on how to properly love Him, obey Him. And, word obey is taboo, I know. And in the Old Testament, there's over 600 definitions or commandments, not suggestions, but commandments to obey Yahweh. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. And in Timothy, destitute of the truth, supposing gain is Yahweh likeness, from such withdraw thyself. See the other articles about come out of her, my people. They're destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is Yahweh likeness. From such withdraw thyself. And in Titus, the next book, Titus 3:10, a man that is a heretic, or who's cast off his faith, after the first and second admonition, reject that person, knowing, in 3:11, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sins, being condemned of himself. Now we have all, in the past we have sinned, but we don't make a practice of it. So we can't be identified technically as an active sinner. We were sinners. We are now hopefully righteous in Yahweh. And even due to our ignorance, we might be transgressing some or breaking some law of His. But He, as we are told, and we have read that He covers us with His righteousness until He wants us to find out what that particular thing is to repent of, to identify what our sins are by reading the Word of Yahweh, not by conjecture, not by guesswork, not by impressions or vagueness or some inclination of the Spirit, but by reading the Word of Yahweh. Now we're going to turn to this book of Nehemiah, or Nehemiah, commonly said, but Nehemiah, in chapter 8, verse 10, for just a moment here, anyway, and then for just a verse. And Nehemiah, the spiritual leader, in this case, right after the book of Ezra, and I think it's before the book of Psalms in most versions. And this is Yahweh speaking here. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is pure unto our Yahweh. Neither be sorry, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength. So that's Yahweh speaking through Nehemiah, the leader. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is pure. Neither be grieved. Today we hear from the Christian universities that keeping the Sabbath is a grievous, heavy burden. They say that right on their radio station, their Christian radio, contrary to what the Scripture says. There's a lot of things they say contrary, but we won't mention all of them, or we'd have to be here a long time to talk about that, and we don't need to do that. We need to what we do need to be going about doing. And you could shut that blind there for me, if you would. Leviticus chapter 19 now, in the book of Vayikra, chapter 19. Yahweh tells Moses to tell us, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be pure, or separated, for I, Yahweh, your sovereign Yah, am pure." Now, and then in chapter 20, verse 7, "Sanctify," or set yourselves apart, "therefore, and be ye pure," be separate from the religions of the world, in other words, from the culture, the religions, from the compromisers. So, "set apart yourselves and be pure, for I am Yahweh, or I, Yahweh, your sovereign Yah." Then verse 26 of that same 20th chapter, "You shall be pure unto me, for I, Yahweh, am pure, and have severed you from other people, and you should be mine." Then in it's repeated and reflected, or reflected, I guess, in 1 Peter, 1 Kefa, chapter 1, verse 15, "But as he which has called you is pure, so be you pure, be pure in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be pure, for I am pure." It is written mainly there in Leviticus, quite a number of places of citations or instances in Vayikra or Leviticus, where he says, "Be ye pure," or in the King James, "holy." We don't use H-O-L-I here, once again. "But I, Yahweh, am pure, and have severed you from the other people, that you should be mine." And Peter reflected that, "But as you which has, he rather, which has called you is pure, be you pure in all manner of conversation. Be pure, for I am pure. It is written." It is written. And reminds me of Brother Bradshaw on the satellite there. Acts chapter 2:38, "And Kepha said unto them, Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yahusha Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh," or in old English it would be the pure spirit, "the name of Yahusha Messiah for the remission of sins." And we have many instructions on, we've got a few anyway, on baptism. You can find it by looking up the word baptism in the New Testament or in the Older Testament. Under the Hebrew word would be a tubal, is one of them. Not on the top of my head right now, but to wash yourselves in the waters, and Yahweh will wash away your sins and iniquities. And of course, there is Old Testament, the added laws, the sacrifices, the temple sacrifices there. That was a burden. And one of our leaders here, Hezekiah, has mentioned that if a person who sinned went to the priest and brought the sacrificial offering and gave that to him to be offered up to Yahweh as a sin offering in the Old Testament times, and then his sins would be remitted at that time, but maybe in the next moment he'd go out and leave the temple area, and then he would perhaps commit another sin. So what's he have to do? Turn around and go back into the temple with another, whatever sacrifice was required? Boy, that would be a tough thing, to try to toe the line, try to walk the line with Yahweh perfectly and at all times. But it wasn't an impossible thing that Yahweh gave. Obviously, some were able to, as King David was able to keep Yahweh's Torah. Revelation 2:5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." So works are not taboo. And it, once again, it's more than just having a wonderful feeling toward another human being, or, you know, doing a favor for somebody. It includes that, but it's much more, much higher than just that. It's keeping Yahweh's word. The word works, especially in the book of the Revelation, refers to the commandments, statutes, and judgments. "Remember then, from thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." The gospel of repentance. Yes, that's not always a part of today's modern gospel presentations. So you just go to the altar, raise your right hand without anybody looking around so as not to embarrass anyone. And that's supposed to be making the new covenant with Yahweh. There's no commitment. Nobody even knows who this person was that was raising his hand, who was accepting Messiah. And I'd never seen that term, accepting Messiah, anywhere in the scripture anyway. I always think, first of all, he would call, elect, and choose us and accept us. And not come as you are, but stay in the car. But to make a change of heart, to repent. Anyway, that's okay, my comment there, for whatever it's worth. Revelation chapter 18, now as we move up. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." So you could read on there if you've never done that before. What a wonderful blessing. We always read that at the Feast of Tabernacles in the autumn, or late summer, as we call that, Feast of Tabernacles, partly as a picture of the millennium. And that's provable, looking at Isaiah 66, for example. Hebrews 10:16, and Yahweh speaking, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my Torah into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Of course, it doesn't say everything here. It doesn't quote Romans 10:9, John 3:16, Romans 6:23, and all those others. And the covenant of Yahweh, making a covenant with our husbandmen, with Yahweh, for we are his bride. Isaiah 2, then, to finish up on the study, as I said, "Many people shall go and say, come, come you, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the sovereign Yah of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, and the word of Yahweh shall go out from Yerushalayim." Shalom. And maybe a quick note or two, but I've been noticing during the political season here in America, as they were concerned about voting on the president in 2020, that we are receiving a lot from the national, let's see, which one is this? NPLA, National Pro-Life Alliance, and Action Grams, and from different well-meaning senators. Rand Paul and wonderful, helpful people, but they, you know, a week or two later, we received maybe the same letter, even after we have sent the money. There's a lot of marketing going on there, and I call that Christian junk mail. I think they need to stop spending the special people's money. So it's a redundant, repetitive, and wasteful use of the churchgoers' donations. And I would ask these leaders of pro-life organizations, religious organizations, that are they do need some money, but they, you know, they're using too much marketing, slick marketing, in order to do it, and trying to pump it up there. Do not send a lot of junk mail and needless promotions. The candidates who gets the most votes wins. They always used to say, "Well, the best man win," but. Not always the case, of course, we've seen, but the candidate who gets the most votes from around the populace will win, regardless of how much money you throw at it. And a lot of your money, I would guess a great percentage every time they hit the key on their computer to send out mailings for millions of people, there, that's costing a lot of money. If you send them $100, how much would that be? 30% goes toward promotions? And, okay, I won't harp on it, but Yahweh will guard his special people. And then maybe another thing here is about keeping the Sabbath day pure, and we need to start right before sunset, or perhaps several hours earlier in our preparation. Of course, do all the cooking, and no cooking is allowed on the Sabbath day, according to the Scripture. No servile work shall be done. And you could read Leviticus 23, Exodus 10 regarding Passover, chapter 12 there. 10 is about the new year of Yahweh. And a lot of wonderful pearls and jewels are found in the Word, because Yahweh's Word is the truth. And you're going to walk in the light by being blessed, by rejoicing in the truth and walking in the Word of Yahweh. And, you know, I'd like to go on. It's late here. But I want to thank you for joining us today. My email address, I'd sure appreciate hearing from someone. We've heard from a handful of people in all these years, and the websites are very costly. So send me an email today just saying hi or shalom, okay? And if you'd like to add a little bit to that, don't get real controversial. Hi, how are you doing? You know, no, that's not a controversial. Stefan Yah is my name, so that's spelled with a Zadi. In English, Roman letters, it would be T-S-E-P-H-A-N, kind of like Stephen. T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H at Yahweh, Y-A-H-V-A-H, and Yahweh.name. Now, we're not endorsing the Yahweh, the W, which came along much later and more recently for us. But our main website base was Yahweh, not Yahweh.name, but that's how the email came out. Okay, I gave you TMR, too much, TMI. I gave you too much information there. So we'll stop doing that right now. And I pray you'll be blessed as you continue studying the Word of Yahweh. And maybe listen to another podcast here on Yahweh.name. And continue not only reading the suggested readings by the computer or rabbi, whoever makes the list there, what we're supposed to read, beginning with Genesis in the autumn. You know, I don't necessarily follow that list, but by reading the whatever is applicable to that time, whatever is going through in your life, whatever is imperative and very important to you right now, what applies to your life. What do I need to do? What is my next step? How can I walk with Yahweh in keeping His commandments? How can I be inspired to walk on and keep my mind on Him and on heavenly things and off of the worldly, everyday, mundane things? Well, I can go to the feast days, of course, and that's going to help immensely to keep His feasts, to keep His judgments there, as it says in the scripture in Exodus 21, to keep His Bereshit. No, wait a minute. That's not Bereshit. Bereshit is Genesis. Exodus 21 is Shemot. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I certainly do appreciate you today, and I hope that we can continue here and maybe get a little bit of response from somebody. We never take any offerings on here. It would be probably bring up an issue here and there, so we don't take any funds from anybody unless we know them personally and they were to make out in person with a donation or something. But okay, but that's probably not possible. We broadcast and podcast here from the great Northwest of America, and we've been on for the last, oh, I want to say 10 or 12 years. Certainly from Sermon Audio, we've been on the internet there from about the inception of that, what do you call it, support, their electronic support people. And we're very grateful that we can be a part of the assemblies out there to help with encourage one another and instruction and exhortation and even a little admonition now and then. So, as we gather around the radio once again, Stefan Yah saying not only sayonara, but shalom, shalom, shalom to you. Thank you. Praise Yah. Praise His name. Come quickly, Yah. Maranatha. And this is Stefan Yah with Separation and the Sabbath Day.